When your pastor had asked me about preaching revival, I knew somebody was going to. God had put it on my heart. He'd already told me I had a revival coming. I just didn't know where I was going. Well, he was the first one. Next thing you know, I had a couple others that got lined up. And I said, if I don't start answering some of these, I'm going to end up getting booked up a bunch, and it takes me away from my church. But it's always a pleasure to get out. I've been in service with a lot of you. Most of it's been over at Southwest, and some of Southwest is here as guests tonight. We're glad to have them with us also. Amen. I tell you what, I'm like you. I can't think anywhere I'd rather be than in the house of the Lord. Amen. Somebody said, hey, we're on the right side of the ground. We're on this side of the earth.
Amen.
So we're doing all right tonight. I think we've got something more to say than that. Because one of these days, even when he put this flesh in the ground, they put this old body in the ground, one of these days, it's going to come up. He's going to call me out. He tells me, if I was to go on out of this world before the Lord comes back, I've still got to come back by the way of the grave and get called up in the air and changed forever in the twinkling of an eye. And I'm looking forward to that. And I'll tell you what, if nothing else, that song got me stirred up because I didn't know what I was wanting to preach on. I didn't know what God wanted me to preach on tonight, and then that settled it because I just told my friend Kurt here, I said, I feel like the Lord wants me to preach on the anchor tonight. Sure enough, a brother sings the song "On the Anchor Holds." And I said, well, that does it. As soon as he started singing it, I just kind of chuckled him here on the pew, and I thought, boy, I'm glad I'm not in control. I'm glad that I serve a great and mighty God, and he's going to guide me and direct me in all my ways. I'm so thankful for that. So if you have a Bible, would you turn to Hebrews chapter 6? I'm going to preach on the anchor tonight. Now, that anchor we're talking about is Jesus Christ. I appreciate you having me out, and I appreciate the hospitality you've extended to me and my family. We're going to be here for the next few days, so I figured we'll start out with something that will at least get you encouraged to come back tomorrow night. The anchor has always been a symbol of hope, always. It was actually on a sign just on the western port of Spain, a big old symbol of the anchor, and below it, back before Columbus had sailed the seas, their motto was, "Nothing Beyond." Anybody ever heard of that before? Nothing Beyond. But then Chris Columbus got brave and he took sail. He went overseas. He found America. He brought some Native Americans back as proof that there is something else out there. So Spain was forced to change their motto to "More Beyond." And I'm telling you right now, we have a hope in the anchor today. Amen. And I can gladly say as a Christian, my motto is not "Nothing Beyond." But instead my hope is there's more beyond. Because there's more to come. And I'm telling you right now, based on the authority of God's Word, the only ones in all of God's creation that has a hope is the Christian. The only one that's got a hope is a child of God. And as we read here in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse number 18, until we close out the chapter, it says, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope? We have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I appreciate you standing. You can be seated. We're going to preach on the anchor tonight. And the anchor is hope. And if we didn't have hope, we'd be wasting our time tonight. If we didn't have a hope of something hereafter, there'd be no reason to get up out of bed in the morning. There'd be no reason to ever even get up, go to work, make a living. There'd be no reason to have communication. There sure wouldn't be any reason to have fellowship if we didn't have a hope. I believe it for no other reason. We ought to get along here while we're here on earth because we're going to have to be together ever after. So we might as well get good practice getting along with our neighbors while we're here on earth. But the anchor has always been a symbol of hope. Why? Because the anchor is a representation of Jesus Christ himself. And what better hope is there than in Jesus Christ? Paul would even write, if in this life only I had hope, I would be of all men most miserable. Because if my hope was only in the words of man, I'd be in trouble. If my hope was only in the works of hands, boy, I'll tell you what, it'd be miserable. I'm telling you now, if it wasn't for the hope of Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, there ain't no point in living. There ain't no point in going on in this world, so to speak. You may as well just be dead.
Amen.
You may as well go on and get in the grave then.
Yeah.
You may as well just be dead right where you're sitting if you didn't have hope. But oh, I'm glad for the hope and the anchor. We have a hope in multiple things in the anchor that I've found. Whenever I looked up and I started studying on the anchor. And you know what I found out about the anchor in the times that's written here in the New Testament until today? Did you know it's still the same?
Amen.
It ain't changed. I've read that somewhere where he says, I am Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord and I change not. Ain't you glad the anchor ain't going to change? Now there's been new designs. There's been different ways for certain functions. But the basic necessity and the basic uses of the anchor are still the same. The same way they came to Jesus on the day of Pentecost. The same way the calling of the Holy Spirit brought the first 3,000 saved into the New Testament church will quicken your mortal bodies today in 2015. It's the same Jesus. It's the same anchor. It's the same hope. And praise God, it's the same Spirit.
Amen.
Nothing's changed about the anchor. And that's where you ought to say amen awful big. It's named another time in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 27, we read of a storm. And we know that if for no other reason we need that anchor in a time of a storm. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've lived. I don't care where you go. You're going to come into a storm or you've just left one or the other.
Amen.
Storms are coming. Now listen, there's attacks of Satan. We know that. But there's just life. Life in itself. There's storms coming. Ain't you glad to know that the anchor's going to hold in the storm?
Yeah.
You know the way that anchor will get cast out? It'll start as soon as you let it go. You let it go with the hope of knowing that when it hits the ground, when it hits the bottom of the sea, it might catch some soft spot. It might catch some loose soil. But eventually, it's going to get a hold. And when it gets a hold, things happen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can rest in the hope of the anchor. Because I know when it grips, it ain't going to let go.
Amen.
It ain't going to let go. You know, Jesus has got a big old hand. And if you put your little hand in it, you're in the best hands you could possibly be in. Reminds me of a story I tell this all the time about a little girl going to a rickety old rope bridge with her daddy. I'm from Kentucky. And down there, they got some rope bridges. And they're awful rickety. And they're awful scary looking. Amen. This little girl goes up to this bridge with her daddy. And she looks up at him and she's getting ready to cross, obviously nervous and obviously shaken out of fear. And he looks down and she says, Daddy, hold on to my hand. He said, Honey, you're already holding my hand. She said, Yeah, I understand I'm holding your hand, Dad, but I'm just little and small and I'm weak. And I know that if it's up to me to hold on to you, I'm going to let go because I ain't got the strength. But you, Dad, you're big and you're strong and your hands are so much bigger. So if you hold on to my hand, I know I'm in good hands. I know you won't let me slip. I'm telling you right now, I've tried to hold on to the Lord's hand. I've tried with everything in me to hold on. But I'm telling you right now, my best efforts, my righteousness is as filthy rags. But I'm glad to know I've got a Savior. I've got one. Then the anchor that I'm secure in the hope that it don't matter how weak I get. Because He told me in His Word, when I'm weak, praise God forevermore, He's made strong.
Yeah.
Hey, I got the loose hand. I got the loose grip. I got the slippery hands. Amen? I know I'm talking to some people that slipped tonight. Makes you glad to know the anchor's strong and it's secure and it'll hold on. When it gets rough, we need the anchor.
Amen.
Acts chapter 27, it talked about a storm. Went on for 14 days. They didn't see the light of day. They didn't see the sun. They didn't even see the moon. They didn't see the stars because of the storm waves. And it says they kicked out the anchors. All four anchors. You know how they did that? I studied that. And here's how it works. They send those anchors out in four directions. Every cardinal direction that they could send it in. Why? That's because we never know when we're in the storm which way the wind's going to blow. We never know, but in a moment's notice, the winds can shift. The waves can toss you this way. Then the waves can toss you this way. But I'm telling you about the anchor. He'll hold you in every direction. Now, whichever way you may end up drifting, He's got a hold and He won't let go. I tell you what now, the anchor's great in times when it's rough. And the anchor's great so that we can see the hope. I read about a study they did on these rats. I told this to the church the other day. Hang on here and listen to me. I ain't big on science, but sometimes I like what science proves. It proved hope right here. They took this group of rats. They put it underwater or into the water. And they wanted to see how long they'd stay treading water, these rats. Then they took this other group and put them in the water as well. Well, after about an hour or so, group one, they all drowned. Every rat drowned. But group two, they did something different with it. Every few minutes, they'd pick up one of those rats and take it out. And then they'd set it back down after it rested and take another rat and let it rest. Then one by one they would do that. They continued it for 24 hours without losing one rat. This was their conclusion because they finally just had to stop it. This was their conclusion. As long as there was hope of a little bit of rest, them rats would continue to tread water. I'm telling you right now, it gets tough. I know it gets tough. I'm walking in the same shoes as you. And I know it gets tough. And I know we get tired. But I'm telling you right now, lean on one another. Cast your cares upon the Lord. One of these days, He's going to pick you up. And He's going to give you a little bit of rest.
Yes, He is.
Why do you think He said, "Come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart." Hey, I'm telling you right now, He can handle the burdens. He ain't got no load He can't handle. Well, I tell you, I've been studying on those. I don't know if I get to preach on it, so I'll just go ahead and throw this out real quick. There's two reasons why. I've heard preachers say, and this ain't to negate any preachers that come before me. That's not my job. But I've heard preachers say, and I've even got caught up in the saying, God will never give you more burden than you can bear.
That's right.
You know I can't find that in the Bible anywhere?
You're right.
Hey, now He said, now I won't give you temptation, I won't see you through. But He doesn't say that about a burden. But instead, let me tell you what He says about the burdens. He says, ye who are spiritual, go to your brother in Galatians 6. And says, you can help him bear his burdens.
Good.
He also said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Two reasons I've found why we have more than we can handle. Number one, so I can learn to love you, because you're going to come help me out in a time of trouble. And number two, I know that even if you can't help, I've got a Savior in heaven who will gladly carry my load. Look that up, that burden. You know, everything in the New Testament a lot of times is all some type of nautical descent. Everything about it, there's a reason why. It's because everybody traveled by sea. They all traveled by sea and they all came into different ports. So a lot of times in a lot of the scripture, you'll find there's nautical references there. I was in the Marine Corps for 8 years. We were raised up on nautical traditions and Navy traditions. So I know a little bit about some of this stuff. But I'm glad to report, when you look at that burden, there's a different definition when you look at it from the Navy term. That burden there, when Jesus says, my burden is light, was a Navy term, was a nautical term of a ship carrying freight. And a ship could only carry and was only rated to carry so much. Can I tell you, you're only rated to carry so much. And every now and then, it's going to be too much for you to carry. That's why there were the bigger ships that had a rating to carry anything. And that's Jesus Christ. You know what He wants you to do? Transfer the load. And in the meantime, when the storms are coming, just anchor in. Just anchor in. The anchor is good for when it's rough. We know about that, because we've been there. But I'm going to tell you about something else that we tend to forget sometimes. It's also good in times of reward. We have a hope in when it's rough. But we also have a hope when we're getting rewarded. See, I've been fishing a bunch. Somebody will say, amen right there. I love fishing. We go out bank fishing all the times on the ponds and along the creeks and things like that. And that's good. But every now and then, Dad wants to fire up his Ranger bass boat. He loves that boat. I think sometimes he'd just as soon get out there and run around. He don't even care if we catch any fish. He just likes driving fish.